The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
Very difficult at times. Struggles, temptations. And here's what we got. We must understand that yes, we're going to be tempted, and sometimes we're going to accept those temptations. Now, sometimes we use the terminology fall into temptation, but there is no falling into temptation. You're tempted, and you choose. You either choose right or you choose wrong. That's not a condemnation. That's a reality. And when you choose wrong, the only way to right it is to ask for forgiveness, get it straightened out, repent. You know what repentance is? Repentance is a complete turnaround. I'm going this direction. I changed that direction. I'm going this direction now, right back where God wanted me to go. Hallelujah. We either up or we're getting up. Praise God. Our forgiveness is in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I don't know why God, this seems to be, God's desire this morning for us to talk about forgiveness, being forgiven, receiving forgiveness, accepting forgiveness. For you see, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, He could have turned away. He could have come down off that cross. He could have, many times, he could have just said, okay, Father, I'm tired of these people and the way they're acting. Just send your angels. Let's get rid of them. But he didn't. He hung on the cross for us. He died. And the Word of God says he did it for everyone on the face of the earth. And just like the first time you accepted Christ as your personal Savior, every time that you ask forgiveness is a choice. It's a choice to be forgiven, and it's a choice to change the direction. You can't just ask forgiveness and keep going in the same direction. When you ask for forgiveness, you are saying to God, Father, I am sorry. I want to change. Now, I know it's a struggle sometimes. I know it's difficult. I know that it is so hard to overcome this flesh. I've been talking about soul man and how our soul, our mind, our will, our emotions is the bridge between our spirit and our flesh. And sometimes we choose our flesh. We choose our desire of our flesh over the desire of our spirit. Paul himself said, there's times that I know that it's wrong, but I do it. If the Apostle Paul falls into that trap, guess what? It's going to happen to us too. But the unique thing about the Apostle Paul was that he always got back up. He always recognized who he was in Christ. He always put off those things that he wasn't supposed to do and walked in the newness of Christ every day. His mercies are new every morning. Every morning. Glory. As we talk about renewing our minds, we talk about our soul, our mind, our will, our emotions. I want us to recognize how important this thing that I'm referring to as soul, when we talk about as soul, is in our life. I believe in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, if you want to turn there, that's fine, that God gives us just a brief glimpse of how and why he created mankind and the mechanism that we have that causes us to be who we are. And it says this, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. He took us, he took Adam, and he took dust and he created Adam. That's what he did. Created Adam a body. Now remember, there was a body there. And he of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being, or a living soul, the King James says. And we refer to a person as a living soul. Now, as Adam was laying there, God had created a body. He created a soul mechanism that could think, that would have emotions, that would have feelings, but there wasn't anything there that would give it life until God breathed into the nostrils of Adam. God, the scripture literally says he spirited into Adam, a spirit. He breathed into Adam a spirit that caused the man, the body, and the soul to come alive. And it became a living being. And then, the man was complete. A complete person, the way he created him. You are a complete person. I believe that we are created in the image of God. That's what the Bible teaches, without a doubt, that God created us in his image. Does that mean that we look like God? I don't know if it does or not. Neither will you, because you're not going to see God. Not right now. But we do know that we look like Jesus. Amen. But I believe what he is trying to teach us here is that we have the same working parts as our God, that we're a triune being, that we have a body, a soul, and a spirit. And that spirit gave us life. And the word says that when you die, that spirit is going to go back to the one who gave it. Well, guess what? Because that spirit and soul are inseparable, except by God, the soul continues to live as well. So the spirit and the soul will have eternal life. The soul gives you the ability to reason, gives you the ability to think, that gives you the ability to have emotions. Now, a lot of that in this physical body, a lot of that goes on in our mind, because that's the way God created us. But without this body, your soul is going to continue to have those capacities. Always. So we living here and understanding that we're walking in the flesh, we need to recognize that God gave us a spirit that he intends to dominate our thinking and our lifestyle here on this earth. And our problem is that for so many years, we've allowed this fleshly body and our carnal thinking, our carnal thoughts and ways to dominate our life. So we have to come to the place where we separate ourselves from our carnal desires and begin to receive spiritual desires and spiritual things from God. And it's a process. When you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're born again. Your spirit is born again. But this soul, although your thinking is changed to receive, to have the capacity to receive spiritual things in your life, it's not going to receive them unless you do something about it. The soul has to be dealt with. Your soul is what causes you, if you have addictions, to go back to those addictions. If you have problems in your life with your marriage and your family, it's your soul that causes you to keep bringing up those things from the past. It's your soul realm that's creating your problems for you, because you've allowed it to be impacted and dictated by your flesh. It's time for believers to rise up and let the Spirit guide your life. Amen. Four pastors were talking, and one of them said, you know, our people, they come to us, they confess, and they tell us things. And I think it's a good idea. The Bible says it is good for the soul to confess. So I think we ought to confess to each other what, you know, our issues. And they talked about it a little while, and finally they agreed, and the first one said, okay, well, my problem is that my denomination says that movies are horrible, and I'm not allowed to go to movies, but I love movies, so sometimes Saturday afternoon I'll sneak off and go to a movie. And the second one said, well, you know, I like to smoke a cigar once in a while, and my people, my congregation believe that smoking is of the devil. Certainly makes you smell like it. And so he said, I sneak off once in a while and go smoke a cigarette or smoke a cigar. And the third one said, you know, I like to gamble. So once in a while, I'll sneak off all by myself and go to Vegas and just gamble. I enjoy it. And the last one, he just sat there and looked at all of them for a while. And they said, come on, you got to tell us. He said, I don't think you want to hear what I have to say. Said, oh, yeah, we do. We want to know what's your problem. What's your vice? He sat there for a little bit. He said, okay, I'll tell you. I'm a gossip, and I can't wait to get out of here. All right, well, I just felt like I had to lighten things up a little bit before we go on too much. Gets real heavy sometimes in here, doesn't it? Glory. That was bad, wasn't it? Yeah. Oh. The reality is everybody has something in their life that they need to be clean. I hope that you're not a gambler, because that's going to destroy your life. And I hope for your health's sake that you're not having issues with cigarettes. Some of you have in the past. Some of you may be dealing with it right now. I'm speaking this to you because I want you to be free. I love you. I don't want that to kill you. Some of you are dealing with drug issues in here. Those are difficult things. You have people around you here in this congregation in your life that want to help you, want to pray for you, want to set you free. When you're struggling, you need to reach out to people who will encourage you and lift you up spiritually, not the people who will say, oh, yeah, I'll help you. Uh-huh. Here's a Vicodin.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Or let's smoke a joint. You know, those are the people that are going to pull you down. And I'm not condemning those people. They need to be free too. They need Jesus Christ to come in and radically save them and change the direction of their life.
Come on, man.
But whatever it is, some of you have hidden things in your life. What do they call them? Skeletons in the closet. But God wants to set you free from. Wants to deliver you. He wants you to be free. And there is no reason for you to walk in the bondage of the things of this world. But until you begin to realize, until you come to the place that your soul realm is either going to be controlled by your flesh or it's going to be controlled by your spirit, you'll not have victory in these situations. Because your flesh is going to continue to dominate your thinking. The Spirit of God is working. The Spirit of God is alive. The Spirit of God is in you. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, He's in you and He's working on your spirit. He's speaking to your spirit that was born again when the Holy Spirit came into you. It was renewed. So it has a new way of speaking to you about things. It tells you. It's crying out, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong. And until we allow that voice to have dominance in our life, we'll continue down the wrong road constantly, over and over and over. Turn with me to John chapter 4, verse 10. We'll begin with verse 10 and read to 15. If I can get that far before I start. Jesus answered and said to her, John chapter 4, verse 10. Jesus said to her, he's talking about to the lady, the Samaritan woman at the well, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would say, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Water that is alive. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get the living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? If she had just realized, Jesus tells her, you don't know who you're talking to, because I am greater than he. Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of the water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw. Whew. Notice these two people are on totally different wavelengths. Jesus is talking about spiritual life, spiritual things, being dominated by the Spirit. The woman is talking about physical, carnal, being dominated by the flesh. And Jesus is trying to change her thinking. He's trying to get her to understand that even though she has a physical thirst, there is something that is thirsting inside of her that is greater than that physical thirst. And that he, only he, can satisfy that thirst. Verse 14, let me read it out of the New Living Translation. It says this, but the water I give them takes away thirst altogether. It becomes a perpetual spring within them, giving them eternal life. Whew. This is such good stuff right here, because what Jesus is talking about, he's telling her that I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. Because that first word that says eternal, springing up eternally, Greek word there means not only forever, but it means before time began. So he's talking to her about the Holy Spirit that's going to come, that lived before time began, that has always has been and always will come into you and cause living water to spring up inside of you. Glory. I can tell you're not as excited about that as I am. Whew. I don't know about you, but I have living water inside of me. It flows out of me. It bubbles up inside of me. It causes me to want to live a different kind of life. Yes, Tammy made mention of our lifestyle before we became believers in Jesus Christ. Yes, it was not good. Yes. Praise God, I was raised in a good family. I was raised in with Christians who really believed and lived the biblical truth of the Word of God. Yes. They were not hypocrites. But they took me to church every week. And sometimes I hated going. Uh-huh. The older it got, the more I hated it. Right. Now, I'm just being real with you. That's one of the reasons that I want to have things for our children here at Bethel Worship Center, so they won't hate going to church. Right. When it comes to sitting in here in the congregation with adults, listening to adult things, that is boring for children. And I got bored. And what I saw was that the things of the world had a greater call on my life than the things of God. It wasn't anybody's fault. Nobody did anything wrong. You know, we live in a society where we want to blame somebody else for everything that we get into. You know, I'd like to say that I got into drugs because my mom would spank me, or maybe I should say beat me in this sense. Beat me with Hot Wheels track. And that's the truth. Woo! Man, I hated the fact that they invented Hot Wheels. Man, that stuff is a good switch. Woo! When we were raising our kids, I looked for some of that stuff. Man. You know, that's right. That's good, Jim. Toy that keeps on giving. Woo. We can make excuses. Every one of us can make an excuse for what we've done and where we've been. But the reality is, we made choices. I have known people who have gone through horrible, horrendous things in their life. And they made the best of their life. They rose above those circumstances. They took what Jesus said to them, I will give you life and life more abundantly. They took it and they believed it. Can you imagine that? Believing what the Bible says. Believing that that word is the word from our living God that has come down. It's inspired by Him. And that we can accept it. And we can walk in it. We can believe it. And we can trust it. So you see, you can't blame anybody for your life. You just have to walk in the power that God and the light that God gives you right now. Walk in the light you have and seek more light. Yes. Walk in the spring that you have bubbling up, flowing out of you right now, and seek more of it. Seek more of it. It'll change you. I was reading something about Ray Charles the other day, and A guy was interviewing him after he'd seen a couple concerts that Ray Charles had done. Everybody knows who Ray Charles is. You know, some of you younger people maybe not. But, okay. African American, plays piano, sings, very, very famous. Okay, making sure everyone knows. Georgia was his song. Georgia. Yeah. Otis could sing that for us. Amen. But here's he was blind. And he took up playing piano. He put some time and effort into learning and becoming. But there was a natural gift inside of Ray Charles. Natural gift that he had. And he was being interviewed. This was later on in his life. And he was being interviewed by a guy. And this guy said to him, he said, Ray, I went to two different concerts this week that you performed in. And he said, in both of those concerts, you did the song Georgia. But every time you did it differently. Ray said, yeah, that's right. He said, I don't learn music. It bubbles up inside of me. Bubbles up from my soul, he said. That's right. Whew. That's how this man plays. Yeah. It bubbles up inside of his soul. Some of you who play with him, you know what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. But those of us who worship out here, we understand it. We appreciate it. We receive it. It's bubbling up inside of him because it's the Spirit of God that is causing him to play and sing and respond to what the Spirit is saying to him. That's what I want for your life. I want you to respond to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you as it bubbles up inside of you. I want you to give the Spirit, your Spirit that is being unctioned by the Holy Spirit, I want you to give that preeminence in your life. Stop allowing the flesh to dictate where you're going and what you're going to do. When you get up in the morning, stop listening to what your body says and start listening to what the Spirit of God says. Stop nurturing. Start nurturing the Spirit. The first thing you should do when your eyes pop open is thank your God for another day that you have to live. And then ask Him what He wants you to do. Our problem is we wake up in the morning and we start thinking about all the things we have to do, all the nasty things that happened to us yesterday, and immediately our flesh begins to dictate to our soul how we're going to respond to that day. And we get up and we get out on the wrong side of the bed. Glory, we start our day wrong. Man, I wish it was so easy that all you had to do was get in back in that bed and get out on the other side. Get it straightened out. Doesn't work that way. What you have to do is get in here and begin to get it straightened out so that your thinking is exactly the way God wants it to be. Be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed to this world. Do you hear what I'm saying? This is what the Word of God says. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Do not allow yourself to be conformed. It doesn't say that you, all you have to do is pray and God will take it away from you. It's telling you. It's telling me. We have a responsibility. Don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And what will happen if you renew your mind? You will know what is that perfect, that good and perfect, and I lost it now. I'm sorry. It's perfect will of God. Unless I go back and quote the whole thing, I won't be able to tell you what it says. That's the way I am. That's the way my mind works. But I know what it says. I know how it works. And I know that it's real.
It is real. No doubt.
I know that it will set you free. I know that it will cause you to have a new life in Christ. I know that's the only way to have the abundance that we're supposed to have in Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't lie. When he said the devil has come to that he'll kill, steal, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, that you might have it overflowing, that you might have superfluous, more than enough for life.
Yes, Lord.
That you will have everything you need in this life. Jesus wasn't lying to us about that. But he also left us with the responsibility to find out what that full life is all about and how to get it.
Yes.
It's bubbling up inside of us. We got to listen to it. We've got to put down the flesh. We got to rise up. We've got to allow our spirit to have control over our lives and walk in the things of God. Oh, see. You got a desire. You've got to, you know, if we're going to have these things, we got to start thirsting for the things of God. The woman at the well was thirsty. It took her a while to come to the conclusion what Jesus was talking about. You know, sometimes you might have to set in a service like this many, many times before you come to the conclusion what God is actually saying to you about your spirit. But don't give up. Hang in there. Keep talking. Keep listening. Keep hearing the word. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word of God. Your faith is going to grow. Your mind's going to be clear. If you have been living by your flesh for years and years and years, that's not all just going to go away overnight. It takes time. That's why you need to continue to hear the Word of God. That's the reason you need to continue to read the Word of God. That's why you need to implant the Word of God in your heart, because it takes time for that to change you from the inside out. So you become a new creature in Christ. Yes, Tammy and I lived a crazy life when we first got married. She lived the way I taught her to live. She smoked dope because I smoked dope. She did things that she normally wouldn't. She wasn't really comfortable with any of that stuff. Well, I shouldn't say that about dope. She liked that. There's a lot of other things she didn't like. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen. I'm telling you, I know I'm in big trouble, but thank God we've got 2 days in a cabin by ourselves to get it straightened out. Hallelujah. Praise God. But it's true. Her flesh liked that stuff. She got mad at me when I quit because she didn't have anybody to roll a joint for her. This is real history with us. I'm just, that's right, before Christ. But because of things that I was taught when I was young, as I started getting older and we started building a family, the Spirit or the knowledge that I had and the Holy Spirit was dealing with me. And I would sometimes lay in bed at night and just cry because I knew I was missing something. It was before we had kids, wasn't it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen. And you know, my heart was being touched by the Holy Spirit. But I'll tell you, it took a while for me to come to the place where we finally made a decision to go to church and get our life right. But there was people that impacted that. Jeannie kept talking to us, kept talking to Tammy, talking to me about new life in Christ. Tammy had an aunt that kept telling her, you know, what she needed to change her life. You know, they weren't beating us with the Word of God. They were giving us hope. Offering us hope.
Yes.
And that's what we needed at that time. And we came to, you know, and then, and after all, you know, time, I don't know, it was probably a couple years before we really came to the place where I just said, this is it. I can't take this anymore. I'm not going to live this way. I'm done. And we went to church. I went to church that night. It was a Bible study. And the only reason I went to church was to get saved. I was going to pour my heart out, and I was going to receive it. I didn't know I could do it in my own living room. I don't know why. I should have, but I thought I had to go to church. So I went to church. I received Christ as my personal Savior, and my life changed.
Hallelujah.
I mean, my life changed. I went in a new direction. There was still things God had to deal with and things that I had to get out of my life, just like there are today. He's still dealing with things in my life to get it out, get it taken care of. But praise God, we were on a new path, a new way of thinking. And Tammy made mention of Daryl and Norma Hawthorne this morning. We had, because of those people, because they took us under their wing and they nurtured us, we had somebody that was teaching us and training us and encouraging us to get into the Word of God. I'm convinced that that's what kept us on the right track. That's a word for every one of us. We know new believers in Jesus Christ. Grab hold of those people. Grab hold of them and nurture them. You know, you can't do something to somebody that they don't want. You can't, you know, don't grab somebody that doesn't want to know anything about the Word of God and, you know, set them down in your living room and said you're going to listen to this whether you want to or not. That's not going to work. No, you got to get people who are willing. But you'll find out real quick whether those people are willing or not.
Sure enough.
Amen. You know, we started our new spiritual journey class. People are showing up. Not because, you know, we didn't twist anybody's arm. I might have twisted a couple wrists, but I didn't twist anybody's arm. I gave them, you know, I let people know, I want you to be in this. You need to be in this thing because it's good for you. And then we just backed off and let people come. And they're coming and they're receiving, and God is making a change in people's lives. Because the Word of God is quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Glory be to God. It's the divider, soul and spirit, joints and marrow. Glory. And it can divide between what is good and what is bad. That's what we need in our life. Whew. Hallelujah. Living water. Living water. The woman at the well was looking for living water. I'm going to wrap it up with this. In Genesis chapter 26. You can turn there if you'd like, but I'm just going to kind of talk about it. Talks about Jacob. Abraham had passed away. Excuse me. Abraham had passed away, and Isaac, his son, I said Jacob, but I meant Isaac. Isaac, his son, was now the patriarch of the family. And it doesn't tell us what happened for a period of years. But here's what I perceive from reading this. It says that there was a famine in the land, and Isaac went down to Abimelech because he didn't know where to go or what to do. And he was on his way to Egypt. And God spoke to him and said, "Don't you dare go to Egypt. You stay here. Stay in this place." And here's what I think was taking place. I think that after Abraham's death, I'm reading into this, but I think I'm reading it properly. After Abraham's death, Isaac lost track of his relationship with God. Or maybe he never really had that relationship like Abraham, his father, had at that point in his life. He was a lot like Rob Barber, who was trained and taught the right things, but made a choice to go in his own direction. Because the reason I say that to you is because the famine came, and his desire, rather than to seek after God and find out what God had to say about it, his first reaction was, "Let's go where the world can help me. Let's go where things are better in the world," rather than accept that God is his provider. So God had to show up. And now what happened, I think, is that Isaac got so thirsty for the things of God that God was then able to speak to him. Now, part of the reason that I say that Isaac was neglecting God and his relationship with God was because he neglected the land as well. Because the scripture goes on to say that the Philistines, during that period of time when Abraham died and Isaac had gone down to Abimelech, the Philistines had filled up the wells that Abraham dug. The wells were full of junk. I believe God is speaking today. Some of us have allowed the wells to be filled up with junk. You can't get pure, clean water out of those wells. But here's what God told Isaac to do. Redig those wells. Go back and redig those wells. Isaac did it. Now here's the thing, and it also says that God blessed Isaac. He blessed him. He told him, he said, "I want you to plant in this time of famine." Isaac went out and was obedient to the Lord. He redug the wells. He planted in time of famine. And guess what happened? 100-fold return. This is in a time when no one was getting any return. 100-fold return on his planting. Our God, what an awesome and mighty God. He's telling us, listen, you've got to get serious about these wells that have been filled up. The enemy has come in and he's filled up your well. It needs to be cleaned out. If you'll clean it out, if you'll listen to me, if you'll be obedient to me, I don't care what the circumstance looks like, I am with you and I will give you 100-fold return. Great investment. The only kind of investment that is safe today is a spiritual investment. Stand with me. Isaac went on to receive his rightful place in the kingdom of God as a leader of his tribe, his household. That's what God's speaking to us today. Hear what he has to say. Clean out those wells. Let that living water bubble up and flow up inside of you. Get it right. For today is a new day. Today is a beginning of fresh living water to flow up inside of you. Today is your day. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, You're just such an awesome God. You've done so much for us today. You've touched people's lives. Help me as an individual to keep the well that's flowing in me, keep it clean. It's my responsibility. Father, if there's anyone here today that feels like their well is stopped up, they want it clean, touch them. They're crying out to you right now. They don't have to come up, Lord. They don't have to do anything. All they have to do is cry out to you and receive what you have for them. And you will clean them, cleanse them, and there will be nothing but fresh, clear water flowing up inside of them. Today, Father God, this is a new day. And I thank you, Lord, for all these wonderful things that you're doing in us, through us, with us, Lord God, for your people. But most important, that we might do for others, that we might have that servant's heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Have a wonderful day.
Hi, this is Pastor Rob Barber. Thanks for listening to our message today. We're excited about what God's doing here at Bethel Worship Center and in the body of Christ at large in 2012. If you'd like to learn more about the ministries here at Bethel, please visit our website at www.bethelwc.org. God bless you and have a great day.